Thank you, Lord. What an amazing God. He's so good. Amen. Nolan, go ahead and take out the monitors. Well, what a great opportunity God has given us to be here and just to come and allow Him to touch our lives the way He desires to. I got a few things just to get us started here. Of course, everybody knows we've been doing the words of Jesus. How many know what Jesus says is important? We should listen to the things He says, adhere to them, follow them real closely. And I've been in the Matthew 7, and we're dealing with the wise builder, right? The foolish builder. So He says the wise builds on a rock, and the foolish man builds on the sand. And we've seen that. We've heard that since we've been kids in Sunday school classroom. They used to sing that song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." Remember that? You heard that. Who's heard that besides me? Amen. You've heard that song? Well, I'm not sure. You know how that those things kind of, you quit singing them or whatever, but the scripture's the same. It stays. It's where they come from. But I want to just talk to everybody to kind of set up where we're going, and so everybody understand. I'm not leaving from the words of Jesus. I've come to study in this particular parable dealing with the wise and the foolish builder, and there were some key things there that I think is important for us to investigate. And it's going to go right along with which way we're going to take off here. And it's going to be a long, this takes a lot of time. If you're going to go through the Bible, it takes a lot of time. It didn't just happen. And because you got to stop and investigate the scripture, and we're going to look at that. I just want to tell everybody here that I don't know, I'm not going to assume where you are in God. I'm not going to assume anything. I'm just, from my vantage point, what I'm seeing in the lives of everybody is that as individuals, you're going to determine the path that you're going to travel in your pursuit for who God really is. Now, for someone to say here today that they know everything about God, I think that would be a foolish statement. Because we're in a pursuit for understanding who God is. And how many know over the years we have come to some conclusions in our life, but later on we had to change those views? Is that happening to anybody besides me? And there's a reason for that. And I hope today that I can settle the issue for you on why that has happened over the years. I'm going to show you in the scripture, and you can take it and continue to study it. I've told you this many times. Don't just take my word for it. I'm giving you information. Take some time to go investigate this for yourself. It's very important that we understand that. So I hope today that we could just listen. Life is fragile. It's described as it's like a vapor. You can talk to somebody today and be your last conversation. Isn't that something? It just, and you don't know how that hits home until you're the one who's encountering that. But so when it happens anywhere else, and it happens every day. Every day it happens to somebody. But we go on in life and we kind of lose the urgency of how important that is. Time, don't stop. It's just constantly going. And at some point on the clock, your last tick comes. Is that a true statement? It's the way it is. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That's clear. So from what I'm seeing, I'm not sure, and I'm going to use this in a general term, that the church is taking this serious. I really am. I don't know if we're taking it serious. Because when we read Bibles and we read certain things, but we tend to kind of stay in one area. But how many want truth? How many think in order to get that, we got to pursue truth? There's got to be a quest. We got to step out and say, you know what, I'm going for it. And I'm not going to be afraid that what I find may have to change some of my past understandings of Scripture. Most of the time, people don't want to go out and look for that because they feel they bought the corner store on truth. Just for someone to say they know everything about the Scripture, that I would be careful in that area. We are on this journey to discover who God is. So I want you to see this title. Is the world as we know it real? Because you know the world, it might be many different ways that you know the world. Is it real? And then I put a little subtitle, Discovering Our World Through the Word of God. How many think that would be for believers? I don't know what non-believers do. Some people discover the world through science. Right? My question is, as a follower of Yeshua, formerly known as Jesus, and formerly known as Yeshua, right? To be correct. He was Yeshua, then Jesus, and now we back to Yeshua. That's the process. I don't care how you try to slice it. That's exactly how it went. So, regardless, I'm talking about the same person. But I do believe that there's a point that we can lessen who we know about the Son of God by not declaring it in all aspects that we've been taught in Scripture. And we've been taught that. Yeshua HaMashiach, that's clear in the Scripture. There's no getting around that. If we see it, now why is it transliterated? I have no idea. I don't know what the motive behind it is, but it just so happened that's the way it went. But we have to understand that our view, how we're looking at it, and we're seeing it, as believers who follow Yeshua, shouldn't we get information from the Word of God? Right? Now, this is not going to be me against science. But I'm telling you that we have to be careful that we don't see the Bible from a scientific point of view. We have to be careful of that. And that we don't see our world from that view also. So we're going to take a journey into this. We're going to see it. Now, I'm going to show you as this discovery and little things. It's little things. I wrote down a lot of little things and spent some time contemplating those things, praying over these things, and just basically saying to the Lord, God, how am I supposed to know this unless you tell me? Because there's a lot of stuff that a lot of people say. And you can pick what you're going to do or you can follow the Lord. So I pray that I followed the Lord's lead on this. Now, when people do say things, it doesn't mean it's not from the Lord. But we should check it out, right? So I'm asking you to do the same as we go through this, and you'll see where I'm coming from. So I want you to think about this. Of course, you know, if you go online, right, and I got this program I pay for, and they do my back, they just do my main slides. I got to put all the words in it. So I'm looking, and they get pre-titles. What's pre-titles? Well, you think I'm going to find anything that's controversy? No, it's all quaint. It's all nice. You can't find anything. So you got to type it in. You got to send it off and get it retitled the way you want it, because the mainstream multimedia has a set thing that they're going to talk about, and they feed it to everybody, and you go on and you click it and you play it, and that's the way it is. Nobody's going outside of there. And I found that to be true with everything I did. Especially when I started talking about the feast of the Lord. How many believe they're the feast of the Lord? Right? You can't find anything that's titled that way unless you do it yourself. So I waited for this to come in and got it ready. But here's what I want to focus on. I hope this will keep us through and keep your attention. Is the world real? Is the world as we know it real? Good question. Is it? And you might say, well, I believe it is. Based on what? What's your basis? Scripture and verse. Give it to me. See, that's the thing that you have to make sure you know. Because remember, our duty is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I asked the question, I think it was Thursday, if you had to witness to an atheist, how would you do it? Someone who's agnostic means they haven't come to decide either way. They looked at both views, but hadn't decided. So atheists don't believe any. There's no God, period, right? But how you witness to people like that? And everybody in between there. If what your view, so I know it just makes sense to me. That's good. It makes sense to you. But how do you explain it? Because you were called to witness. We're called to spread the gospel, the good news. How are we going to do that? And this is important. So I want to take you on this journey. We'll start, and we're going to go from there. We'll make some adjustments in our service and how we're going to do this, because this is important. I'm telling you, this is critical times for us. And your view of God has to be according to Scripture. Now, in this course, I'm going to quote a lot of well-known people. I'm going to quote people who's smart. They got more letters behind their name than my name put together. You understand? So they're smart people. They've been out of college, got all kind of degrees and masters and doctorates, and you name it. I'm just me. I'm over here on the bayou. But the same God is God over all. And I'm asking him. So I didn't go to the colleges and all of that, and I don't have the letters behind my name. But I just ask God, if this is your word, and this is your word to us, then you have to reveal this. If not, we're going to stay on the same path we've been on, doing the same thing, and we're going to just, what, by chance take it that we're going to make it? If not, you got to tell us what we're doing wrong. You got to show us in the word where we're going in error, so we're not misled and we get somehow caught in this scientific view of who God is. Let's cover that just for a moment. For a scientist's concern, there is no creator. The whole thing happened millions and millions and millions of years ago. Some little particle, little speck, smaller than you can see with a micro speck is what they claim. A micro speck, all of a sudden, the certain energy got right and boom, it blew up. And then the whole universe began to expand from there, and then it continued to do that. You know, my question is, right off the bat, how do you know? Was you there? You're guessing. There's so much guessing going on. I mean, I could do that. So, it's crazy. And then it kept going, and all of a sudden it split again, and boom, bang, boom, bang, boom. And all of a sudden there's this little purple marble, blue marble, I'm sorry. And then everything's just right, and there's a little life starts. And the oxygen and nitrogen and all that gets right. And then that little thing in the water swimming around and decides to jump on the land. And all of a sudden we have evolution. Okay? The question I'm going to ask you, does the Bible teach evolution? Does the Bible teach that somehow outside of a creator there was a big bang that happened all by itself? It don't teach that. So your view of what's going on in the world, is it real? That's a legitimate question. Because what you're going to do, you're going to come back to Scripture. You will come back, every person in here. How many, I hate to ask this question because I'm afraid of what answer I might get, but let me do it this way because it might cover more people. How many read your Bible in the last month? I didn't want to say yesterday. You understand? But anyway, think about that. So you're reading your Bible and you read a verse. Do you know you will begin to interpret Scripture based on your worldview? You say, well, I'm a Christian. I dispute it. I'm telling you, you will start interpreting Scripture based on a worldview. How you view your world, that's how you'll interpret Scripture. And most people that are believers drag in with them that system of beliefs, and then they try to get up and teach the Scripture. How many of you know those two things don't mix? They don't go together. And I tell you what, I have prayerfully and considered this and give a lot of thought to this, and I'm still going to continue to do that. I want you to know that every time I teach or preach, that's not the end of what I'm talking about. I'm continuing to study that so we can come back and review it at a later time. Because how can you say, well, I finished? You can't do that. Because there's so much about who God is. So think about that. When you read, you're going to bring in your views, and you might see the Bible from a scientific point of view. That's not good. I can tell you that's not good at all. You have to be careful. And so, how many want to discover this through the Word of God? Well, let's start. It's going to take a while. This is going to be quite some time for us to look at all of it, but we'll start. Think about the world. When I say the world, I'm talking about where we live. I'm not talking about something where we don't live. I'm talking about the world where we live, and a lot of other people, billions, right? Billions of people live in the same world you live in. We're not alone. Just over here in Buras, billions of people live. Now, in the United States, just to give you an idea, we're a little over 300 million. It's a lot of people. 300 million in the United States. And so there's everywhere we've ever traveled, everywhere we've traveled, when we go to those places, there's people. Lots of people. So the world is populated with a lot of people. And it also has a lot of different belief systems. Christian belief system is nothing more than that on that same chart of beliefs throughout the world. And who's to say, of all those listed belief systems, that ours, Christian, is the one to go with? Who's to say? So we have to go back in time. Right? So I need 6 people to come up real quick. All right? 6 people. How many you got? 3? We need one more on this side. All y'all get together. That's 5. 6. I said 6. 5 people. Isn't that something? I'm in a hurry here. Y'all going to be here till after lunch. All right. Let's say that each one of these people represent 1,000 years. Okay? Now, Tyreek's going to be in the beginning. And so, he's going to be told something. I mean, he's ever seen this game be played, right? Down the line or whatever. There's so many different names. Telephone, whatever. I tell him something, then he's going to tell Brother Scott. Brother Scott will tell my dad. My dad will tell Jacob. Jacob will tell Nolan. Nolan will tell Connie. Now, if you had to pick anybody up here that you want to go to for the most correct information beside the first guy, which one would it be? Huh? He's the first. All right. Who would you go to? Oh. But what we're doing in the world is we're getting all of our information from here. Now, let me ask you something. If you've played this game, you know that it's difficult to keep everything the same because one's going to tell their version and what they thought they heard. And so if you're going over here, it doesn't mean it can't be right. Because if I tell them a simple word, they're probably going to get it. But if I give them a sentence, and he's got to say whatever he remembers, what do you think will happen? All right? We're going to try it. You got to watch that people can hear in the line too. It took some doing. I mean, this was a one word famous person, Jesus, and it was like, I mean,
it was empty there in the middle.
I'm telling you. To let you know, these are common things I say all the time in church, too. Section. It's pretty good though. I'm impressed, but there's a whole section was missing. Not even said. You get my point? Y'all can sit down. I just wanted to show you, just a little example. We have to make sure, and the way you do it is you go back to the source. Is this the truth or not? You go back to the source, and if we do that, we'll find out what God wants. So let me show you just some example on how you go about doing this, and we'll see what happens. Now, next slide. Matthew 7:24-27. I'll read it again. This is where we left off talking about this last week. I'm not leaving from the words of Jesus. I'm using the words of Jesus as I went back to discover this, because I have to check me also. Because let me tell you, I can hear something or read something, and I don't want to be distracted. So I went back to where I was. The last time I know the Lord was dealing with me concerning the words of Jesus, I went back to it and I said, Lord, if this is the course, you want me to take, then you're going to show me in the Word. Let me read it to you. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. How many remember me saying this last week? All right, I'm dealing with this subject. And acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And I highlighted that for you. It had been founded on the rock. And I want to deal with that word in just a little bit. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, does not, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The fall was great. Because how many know, I believe he emphasized the fall being great because there was an expectation that I believe both of them put a lot of effort in building the house. But only one put a lot of effort on the foundation of the house. Very important. How many know that we're dealing with a solid foundation that already exists on our for us, for our benefit? Then you're going to build your foundation on that foundation. Remember that. Found it on the rock. Found it is a key word that I want to take some time to look at. Strong's Concordance talks about Demelio, and I want to look at that. It's to lay the foundation of. The original word, we see that. It's short definitions, I found. Lay the foundation. The definition I found lay the foundations, whether it's literally or metaphorically, I want you to understand, it means the same, I found. So when a man is wise, says that he dug down and he, it was founded on the rock. So it means I found and then I lay my foundation on its foundation. It's already there. So that's important because you're going to lay a foundation. So foundations are some parameters, set of belief systems, whatever that is. And in this case, I want you to focus on your foundation. What is it based on? Is it based solely and purely upon the understanding that you have in the Word of God? Or is it based upon what scientists have said? And then you're going to build your house after that. After the foundation, you're going to build your house. So my question is, if we dig down deep and then we anchor our foundation to the rock and then we look at both of them and what we see in the foundation of the rock, we want to build ours comparably to that. Because we got it's called an example. Right? What did Yeshua become for us? An example. So if we know that he made, we read his story. Did he win? Yes, he won. He went through some stuff. And I know we focus on what he went through, but let me tell you, in the end, he was resurrected, given a name with no other name. Understand that? He was put in a spot no other person can have. Raised above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. He had great success. You have to understand, when he talked about he raised him above all principalities, that means they're all principalities from the garden. They're existing in our world, still are existing. Now, Christ has been raised. What happens to me? Well, I am raised. If I'm willing to dig deep to the foundation of example. How many here? And then I mimic that foundation. I see what he did, I'm going to do the same thing. If he made it, I'm going to make it. Now, let me ask you something. If you've been, and we've seen this happen throughout the times living on this peninsula, you've seen things come and go, and buildings that you thought were strong got knocked down by the storms and so forth. But there have been buildings that hadn't been made, they withstood them all. Maybe you know some. And so shouldn't you, like if you were building, you say, I'm going to take my directions off of this building. This building been through, and name all the storms, right? You're naming this building still standing. But what it is, for that, we don't want to dig in to investigate that. Why did it stand? How did it endure all these hardships? Well, Jesus, he endured all these hardships, all these difficulties. We got to dig into what's going on in his life. What did he do? When we do that, we got to mimic that. We got to mirror it. We look at him, we mirror that and say, I'm going to do the same thing. What's going to be your success? Just like his. Keep that in mind because this is where I want you to see where I'm going. I don't want to just come here and all of a sudden I pull something out of the hat and say, okay, we'll talk about this. I asked the Lord, I said, if I can't link it together, I'm not talking about it, period. You don't need another story about something, but you and I, we need the truth. Because our view of the world is going to be either a biblical view or a scientific view. I don't mean nothing about you being saved. You can be saved and still have a scientific view of the world. You've come, somebody said, well, that's good enough for me as long as I'm saved. But you're still alive, breathing, and our goal is to win the loss. We have to ask the question, will I be held accountable for being disobedient to when God told me to spread the gospel and I didn't want to do anything but keep myself safe? Maybe we fall under the guy who hid his talent. And he says, why you didn't do something with it? Why I was afraid. And he starts giving God this lecture on how God, you know, he reaps where he doesn't sow and la-di-da-di-da and just went on and on. But the Lord punished him. Keep that in mind. And in that parable, we need to learn something from that. So I hope that you see the definition here is I found or lay the foundations. Now remember, the wise man founded his foundation on the rock. So foundation to foundation. Mimicking that. It's very important to understand that. Matthew 16, verse 13 through 18. Listen to this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Verse 14, and they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, am I still in the words of Jesus, by the way? How many see this? He says to them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is his answer. You are the Christ. That means you are Mashiach. That's how he would have said it. He wouldn't have said Christ because they weren't Greek-speaking Jews. He would have said, you are Mashiach. That's what he'd have said. We have Christ because we have it in the Greek. But he said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, this is the words of Jesus again. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I want to ask a question to you. Can God reveal things to you that you had no previous knowledge of? Does God need to reveal to you things because some man scientifically proved it? This is great questions. I'm asking them. You can take them home, deal with them however you want. My question again, can God, I'm talking about Yahweh, the Most High God, can he reveal something to you without flesh and blood? I'm just reading what Jesus said. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Did he not say that? You didn't get what you just answered from other people. So my question is, can God reveal something to you that doesn't come from somebody else? You're going to see where I'm going in a minute because I'm asking a question about this. Now watch what he says. But my Father who is in heaven. Now how many know when Jesus speaks of heaven, this is not, we don't have Shamin, when we look at the heaven word in the original Hebrew, but he's still making the same reference here with the same concept. Jesus is thinking in Hebraic thought when he makes this statement. The Shamayim, the heavens. Now keep that in mind. I'm going to deal with all of them because what did he say? I was taken, whether in body or out of body, I don't know, but I was up into the third heaven. How many of you have ever heard that? Do we need to know that? What is that? And we had all kind of people. So many different views. Do you know you're going to get a view and you can bring into your searching for that what you know about the world now from scientists. Question is the world as we know it real? Because that's what you'll use. Whatever you know it as, you'll use that in interpreting scripture. That's not good. Listen to this. Careful. I also say to you that you are Peter. You are Peter. He would have said, I also say to you that you are. There's a big controversy here, especially the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church takes this, and this becomes their poster boy, their golden child, the holy grail of apostles, because Petros and Petra. And I don't have time to deal with that, but I'll give you some of it. Let me give you some of it. He said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So what they do, in essence, say, we are the rock church, or we're it. And that's why you have the emblems, the statues, and all that stuff. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So the Greek word Petra is large rock or bedrock. Now, do you think when he said you are Peter, that he said, you are Petra. No, he said Petros. There's a big difference. And when he says upon this rock, he's still not talking about Petros. He says he's talking about Petra. The Greek there, Petra, is large rock or the bedrock. The bedrock. The bedrock is what I want to, I'm connecting this. He says a wise man builds his house on the bedrock. The example. You connect foundation to foundation because every man's going to build. That's what he says. Everyone's building. We have an example of a firm foundation that can withstand being ostracized, lied on, spit on, beaten, nailed to a cross. Do you understand that? Put in a tomb, we have an example that he rose again on the third day. Amen? Now he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. By the way, that was the part they left out. It's a very important part. You remember it now? My people up here, when I gave them, did you hear that? He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for? Didn't even come up. Was you the second guy? Oh boy. That's a lot though. So what do you do? What have been the best thing to do for Tyree? Can you tell me that one more time? Do you understand my point? That's what we ought to be doing. Can we go back one more time and look at the scripture? And if we still don't know it, let's go back again until we get somewhere. You got to go back to the source. Is everybody understanding this? Hopefully you're getting that. And I have to set this scene because if I don't, I can't do what I'm going to be doing. I can't. You can't just pick a topic and you're going to come talk about it. It's not, God don't allow that. Well, some people do it all the time. Well, I'm not doing what they're doing. I got to submit to the things of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And like I told the Lord, I said, God, if you don't lay this out, it's got to be laid out. Scripture, I need chapter, verse, script. I need it all. And the Lord lays it out for us. Watch this. Ephesians 3, 13 through 19. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. This is Paul praying. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you being rooted and grounded in love. How many want to take a stab at the word grounding there? What does that mean? Same word. Founded upon the rock. The wise man built his house on a... why did it stand? It was founded upon the rock. It was grounded. How many see that? Next one. And then verse 18 says, may be able to comprehend. If you're founded or grounded on the rock, you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height and the depth. And to know the love of Christ which surpasseth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How many want that? If I told you, you can have all the fullness of God, that would be like the best find in the world. That's the biggest treasure, right? Well, you can't have all the fullness of God if you don't get grounded. Because it won't benefit us. You can be told something, but we have no grounds. We're not standing firm on anything. And then we might take it off and do all sorts of things with it. God wants to know that he can trust you with information. It's not about selling books. I've been traveling different places, and I can't tell you how many people have approached me and said, hey, do you have a book writer? No. But I had one guy, he wanted to do that for me. He said, listen, transcript everything, send it to me. Man, your stuff's got to get out. You can be selling books. I'm not into selling books. And one thing God didn't call me, he didn't call me to be an author to sell books. So I believe this is the word of God. Wherever I go, it's not mine. You think it's mine? And I don't know, it may just be me. I know everybody's got to make a living, but it may just be me. But I got a hard problem with merchandising the kingdom of God. I just do. Tell me, you got to live by faith. Okay. Why are you selling everything? Like you came up, but you're not the originator of it. If that's the case, give it all to God, because he originated. You talk about a copyright infringement. Ain't nobody been copyrighted and infringed upon more than God. And we get offended if somebody takes one of our little pictures. It's absolutely crazy, the world we live in. Now, the question is it real? How many want to find out? Well, let's continue. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And although we were formerly alienated as hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established. Same word. Firmly established. How you get firmly established? Your foundation has to match his foundation. Wow. How many know that there's a whole, you got to give more emphasis on the start of it and not look at the finished product too far in advance. Because what happens is we can get caught up in how nice it's going to look on the outside and never take into consideration that if we got no foundation, all that nice is going to come down when it gets tested. And we're really into the facade. We really are. We're into the edifice. We're into the outside, how it looks. We're into that. That's what we are. Some people get themselves in a lot of trouble trying to look good for somebody else. But on the inside, they know they're in trouble. They can't make it. Can't survive. They know they're not going to survive. So they carry it for so long, and then some excuse comes up, and then they realize that this is why I went broke, you know. So he said, firmly established, steadfast, not be moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under the heavens, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. I'm just giving you these verses for you to look at. 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. How many thank God for that? So in its finality is the fact that we enter the glory. Isn't that amazing? That's going to be incredible. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, I got one couple more, and then we'll get started. This is just laying the foundation. Hebrews 1, 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. I'm not changing words here. I'm keeping the same Greek word that I got when it says I found or founded upon a rock. Let me just help you here. Maybe you're not seeing this. But about right now, on the inside of me, and when I was looking at this, I had a weeping moment. And if you say, well, you might, some of you, let me just, you're just looking at me like, let me explain it to you. How many believe Yeshua is the foundation, the rock? Where did he get his example? If he's the expressed image, then where did Yeshua get his example? Because remember, he had his own will, his own emotions. He made decisions to have that firm foundation seated deeply on the foundation, which is Yahweh, the Father. That's why he said, these are not my words. Notice that. So I'm going to read Hebrews again to you. I mean, you see that? It's up there on the board for you. You, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of your hands. How many see that? You did that. So let's take a look at this. We have The wise man builds his house on a rock. We say the rock is Yeshua. Yeshua laid his foundation. Did he have an example, or is it the original foundation? He had an example. Hebrews brings us farther back than that example, and he says, you, Lord, you, Yahweh, you laid the foundation of the earth. Wow. Now, what's a foundation for? Is a foundation there for you to, when the water comes, that your house floats away? Is that what a foundation's for? No. Why do we drive pilings down in the ground and then build on top of those pilings? Is it for when the river raises, for it to just float off and go down river? That's not why we do it. There's a lot of work involved in driving pilings. Why do you do it? You want it to stay firm. No matter what comes, you want it to stay put. Not move. Everybody say not move. Because that's going to help you later on in this lesson. Not move. It's going to really help you. All right? So, how many believe that God is the same? How many believe that He doesn't change? What He tells you He is, that's what He is, and He doesn't change later on and develop into something else. You never notice about science? Science is always developing into something else, and they won't come back and say they were wrong about anything. Especially the monkey people. Right? Don't, I mean, how many ever was told or heard it said at any time in your education time where man came from a monkey? Right? I'm just, listen. It either happened or it didn't. I'm not trick questioning. I'm asking it again. How many ever heard that and it was taught to be literal? They weren't a joke. They weren't joking. And he was told that man came from monkeys. Let me see your hand. It's called evolution. Right? This whole Darwinism type thing. Well, they're finding out now. Well, and they're still trying to fix it. Because science came along and disproved their own science. And I'm telling them, like the Word said it, for your scientist was born. Who came up with it. And it's still saying it, and it'll continue to say it. There's a reason why, because it's on a foundation. And it's firm. You don't have to, God doesn't have to play with words for the Word to be right. Is this helping you? I'm telling you, it's helping me. Because if you want to know what direction I want to go in God, I want to step step forward toward Him, because He's absolutely amazing. He's incredible. And so that's what happens. And let me just tell you. We live in a system that's trying its best to keep everybody brainwashed. That's the system you live in. The world that you live in, the question is the world that I live in, is it real? You got to think about that. So Hebrews 1:10, he's quoting from somewhere else. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Does the earth have a foundation? Well, I don't know. We just have one verse here, right? And the heavens are the works of your hands. How many believe the heavens are the works of His hands? We're going to get to that later on, because Job's asked the question, where were you there? When His hand spread out the heavens like a curtain. Think about that. Now, I'm just telling you, at the beginning I talked about, they said it blew up, and I'm saying God spread it out like a curtain. It was a deliberate act by an intelligent being who existed from all time and who began to create by design. By design. Isn't it amazing when He starts creating by design? He doesn't just kind of start from nowhere. He starts with a foundation. Wow. Psalms 102 verse 25. Of old, this is the quote, right? Because he's quoting. Of old you founded the earth. Let me see that. Of old, you, talking about Yahweh, founded the earth. And the heavens are the works of your hands. Who founded the earth? Have you noticed it's not going anywhere? Still here? Who founded it? Nobody knows. It says here, you of old, talking about Yahweh, you have founded the earth. Isn't that amazing? Let's try this verse on and see if you're on the same, we're on the same page. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Who's on board with that verse? Let me see your hand. You believe that verse. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, that men have been inspired to write. Because let me tell you what the smart people is going to do. These are believers. They're going to say, well, the Bible does say this, but it was how ancient thought was. But now that scientists have disproved that, it didn't really mean that. This is the smart folks. These are the college graduates of Bible institutes. They have no problem saying this is what the Word says. But at the end, we can't give up on science. So they make some kind of twisted excuse. This is what you have. And so we don't want to be a flaming literalist. That's what they call it. You can't believe everything in the Bible. So they call you a flaming literalist. Oh, it would be worse. It's coming. So how many believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration? How many part of Scripture that is? Let's see if we can make sure we define this correctly. All. Is that Genesis to Revelations in everybody's mind? I'm going to ask that again because you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked how many people who believers that don't want nothing to do with the Old Testament unless it benefits them, like the tithe. Let me get over here. They don't mind that verse, but don't tell me nothing about feet. We don't keep feasts. We love Christmas. But we want the tithe. They'll kick you out of the church for no tithe. Why they singing Jingle Bell? There's a problem. God's like, okay, what's the deal here? Right? I'm just trying to... How many want truth? I mean, that's what sets us free. So when I say all, does that mean Genesis to Revelations is inspired by God? All right, that's what we're going with. All right. Next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says this. Prove all things. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. So how many things should we prove? How many? Does that mean Bible things? Scientific things? All things. Wow. Are y'all on board with that? We're going to prove all things? Listen, one thing about truth, you don't have to be afraid if it's true. If we don't know something, we should still pursue it with everything in us. That way we can learn on the way. But one thing about truth, listen, let me just tell you this. If God is God, don't worry about it. I don't care what scientists say. I don't care what your interpretation or misinterpretation of Scripture is. He's still God. It won't change that because truth will win in the end. The truth is going to be revealed. And Jesus dealt with that when he came. One of the primary reasons he came is to reveal the truth. And that was about the kingdom of God. For this is the reason. And I must go to all the cities also to preach the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? How many of you know the kingdom got lost? In mainstream church, the kingdom got lost. You know why? Scientific view of the world we live in. There's a large portion of church Bible-toting believers who believe that heaven is the final destination of the believer. If you tell them anything about the earth, they're going to put you in some name. They'll name a couple ones that if I mention them, you'd know them, and you'd be right in that group. I've been put in that group by several of them. Because you don't meddle with their scientific view of the Bible. Because the scientists told us this, and the Bible says that, and we're going with what? It's a great question, right? What are you going with? Well, are you going to take the Bible or what it says? Well, let's continue. How many already are seeing what I'm talking about? Did you see me? I'm not leaving. This is not a rabbit trail. This is me talking about the man builds his house on a rock and a foundation. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So all things are all things. Leviticus 26 talks about blessings of obedience and penalties of disobedience. Leviticus 26 talks about these blessings. And I'm going to give some history here so we can kind of see where we're going with this. The southern kingdom, Judah, was in captivity for 70 years and came back. And I'm going to deal with that later. We'll pass that up. But we know they were in captivity and Daniel had, and it was over and then they came back. But I want to talk about the northern kingdom, which we're in. That'd be all the rest of the kingdoms. The Gentile kingdoms. Judah is where we get the word Jews from, which is the line of Jesus, Yeshua. Okay? How many following that so far? But the northern kingdom is what we got to deal with. Well, let's run down this and I'll give you some math here. 390 years. The years of the crookedness of the house of Israel, the 10 tribes. It's also known as the house of Israel, the 10 tribes. Ezekiel 4, 1 through 6, talks about seven times is the punishment of the 10 tribes of Israel, the house of Israel, received for their crookedness and for not repenting when given the chance prior to 721 BCE. Okay? So let's look at that verse of scripture. Ezekiel 4, 1 through 6. Are you following me? Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, a portrait of the city, even Jerusalem. So what is he taking? A tile. What would a tile, we got it written here as a tile, but what would we know that as in their time, in Hebrew thought, what are they talking about? Yeah. They didn't have a tile store. There's no, you understand, there's not some ceramic tile store. But you're going to take something and you're going to do a portrait upon it, the city, and even Jerusalem. So there's a drought. I mean, it's still with this. You're following this. And watch what he says. And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mountain against it, set the camp also against it, and set battering rams against it round about. He's like, he wants them to see it. You'll see what I'm talking about. That's what he's telling them. Verse 3, moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city. And set the face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. So what is he telling me? He's basically saying make a model of what is going to happen and let them look at it. Let them see. If you act the way you act every time, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, how many know it's easier if you're constantly looking at something rather than just hearing something? And that's what he wanted them to do. I'm not only telling you, I'm going to show you. You pass by it every day and you see what I'm talking about. You're headed for this if you don't listen. Lie down upon also upon thy left side and lay iniquity of the house of Israel upon it according to the number of the days thou shalt lie upon it. Thou shalt bear their iniquities. Do you see this? I mean, he's hearing this. Watch this. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of days, 390 days. How many see that? 390. Is that clear? 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquities of the house of Israel. Verse 6. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie against on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquities of the house of Judah 40 days. Okay? Different. Was it a difference? Absolutely was a difference. But now we're back on the northern kingdom. Watch this. I have appointed thee each day for a year. So if I got the 390 days, I also have how many years? 390 years. All right, now back up to my slide from before. Well, slide 20. 390 years. We look at their crookedness, times 7, the punishment. Leviticus 26, 14 to 46, we're going to read that, but I'm out of time. I'm going to do it next service. Charlotte's going to read that. You could go back and read it if you want to. Leviticus 26, 14 to 20, 46, what does it talk about there? He said, if you do this, you're going to have 7 times the punishment. 7 times. So if I take 490 years multiplied by 7, how many do I get? Can y'all see up here? 390 multiplied by 7, 27, 30. All right, total times of punishment. 722, 721 BCE, that's a breakthrough at 2009, 2010, right now. We just passed that. You want to know why there's been such cloudiness in the scripture? You wonder why at the time where God says there's going to be a release? How many of you know that it was around this time that we started our investigation of scripture and went back to its original source? Are y'all here? This ought to do something for you. This ought to tell you God ain't forgot about you and I. There's a punishment to be paid, but when he releases, listen, I'm not making these numbers up. They're in the Bible. I'm not trying to make a story up. I'm trying to tell you God loves us. He cares about us. But we got to get back to the source of truth. You can't just jump in something. You got to pray over this stuff. You got to consider it. You got to immerse yourself in the things. And you're listening to all sorts of things, but at the end, there's only one authoritative voice that you hear, and that's the Almighty. A lot of people got a lot of ideas, but we got to step into this thing the way God wants us to. And that's what I told the Lord. I'm not going to do anything unless you lead me. I ain't going to talk about anything unless you guide me. And if your spirit can't give me the words in real time, I shouldn't be saying them. And that's what I depend on. I depend on the Lord to direct me and instruct me. I can say a lot of stuff. Believe me, I can say a lot of stuff this morning, and you'd have left so confused you wouldn't know if you was going or coming. That's not how God operates. He operates through the scripture. Through the word, he lays out a firm foundation. And you see, so I want you to see this, that we're in the time of the release. Now, let me tell you, the Hebrew roots and people going back to doing the feast days and all, that broke through. Now, there were forerunners. I call them forerunners. Just like John. How many know the forerunner? Every time God does something, there's forerunners. There's forerunners. John was a forerunner of Christ. Christ a forerunner of us. Not to mention the prophets came before John. There were forerunners in this going back to the Hebrew root, going back to the feast days and getting out all the pagan stuff. But there was a breakthrough in this in 2009, 2010, and we're part of that breakthrough. So if people question you, tell them, come talk to me. I'll explain it to them. I'm giving it to you so you can explain it. They don't need me, but I'll tell you, I can explain it to them right way. And I want you to be able to explain it. So don't go back and say, well, if somebody would have taught me years ago, it doesn't have nothing to do with that. It ain't going to happen until we get out of the curse. Doesn't mean folks weren't saved. Doesn't mean there were people before us weren't saved. But if God brings revelation for you to step in now, it's not going to be for nothing. There's a reason. How many would know it would be an honor for you and I to be the generation that looks up and there He is. Every eye will see Him. We'll behold Him. What a time that would be. Is He asking for this generation to be the ones who go back, who run, who fly back? And you can see it. You go to different sites, you'll find out it's a mass exodus out of pagan worship, out of church as you knew it, getting back to the Scripture. But there's some, they just locked in. That's fine. Keep praying. But if you don't go get firm foundation, it's going to be difficult for you to spread the gospel. Don't base it upon how you feel. You got to do it because you mimic. So what did Jesus do? He did what the Father told him to do. He mimicked the foundation. He laid the foundation. The wise man digs down, does the same thing, lays his foundation. And then our voice goes on and we speak the truth and people's going to begin to relate to it. I hope that you're getting this morning. I hope that you see this is not, you don't just go and say, oh, well, yeah, pull a rabbit out of a hat, you know, I'll watch a couple videos and I'll be able to get, it's nothing more than that. Once you do whatever you do in research, you got to dig your face in the Bible and you got to start praying and say, God, give me every verse the way they need to go and how you want them to go. And you got to lay it out. You got to let God, you can have the same group of people. I can get 10 people and show them, do research and sit all 10 people down and say, okay, come up with the concept and lay out the verses of Scripture. You're going to have 10 different waves. But if we prayed and sought the Lord, I believe God will narrow that down and He'll say, this is what I'm saying. I believe that. So how many see in this so far? I read to you the Ezekiel account. Hopefully you've seen that. I didn't just get that 390. That's what he's dealing with. In Leviticus, if you see that, it definitely says in Leviticus, if you read it, seven times. It's all through there. So that was the whole part there, Leviticus 26:14-46. Now, this is the next part, and I got a few more minutes. I'm going to get this started because I want to allowing the Bible to speak for itself. What do you think about that? Allowing the Bible to speak for itself. That's critical. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm up against it. I was up against it last night. I told y'all, I'm going to go to bed, I'll get up early, that way I can come to church. I got a lot of and all this stuff is just, I'm going over each part in my mind. I got a tablet. She brought my tablet. She said, you forgot your tablet home. And I did. I got here. And I was like, she said, but I brought it. I got it. And I didn't even look at it. I had it there. I said, yeah, I should have brought it. I have all sorts of notes and stuff on it. But anyway, I just was going over this stuff, and I was praying this morning saying, God, it's got to be your way. It's you the only one. My pursuit is for truth. I don't care about what I think the Bible says. It don't make a difference what I think it says. I'm pursuing truth. What is truth? So how many want to let the Bible speak for itself? Scripture concerning the nature of heaven, sky above, in relation to the earth. We're going to look at those. Now, before I start, let me just see if I can get you on the same page. Genesis is where we start in the Bible. Is that correct? Genesis chapter 1. I want to tell you that through research and by biblical scholars have come to realize that Genesis is not the oldest book in the Bible. It is not the oldest book. That's how it was laid out, but it's not the oldest book in the Bible. They've come to realize from looking at the entire scripture that the book of Job was written before Genesis. Keep that in mind. The book of Job was written before Genesis was written. Now, Job's in the Bible. It's part of the canon. But it was written before Genesis. Now, We said, well, how can Job be written before Genesis? We don't even have Genesis yet. Genesis is an account of all those previous events that was written by Moses. So God gave that to Moses to write at a particular time, in a particular place, for a very particular reason. Very important, the reason. So I want you to understand that. So I'm going to start with Job. And I want you to just realize why I'm starting with Job so you'll see that. I want to lay some things out. This is, because I'm talking about inspiration. How much scripture is by inspiration? How much should we do? What should we prove? All things. All right? Well, let's look at it. We'll see how far we get. We won't get far because we don't have that much time. But Job chapter 9, verse 5 through 9. I'm going to highlight these emphasis parts, okay? They're highlighted. It is God who removes the mountains. They know not how. When he overturns them in his anger. Who moves mountain? Who overturns them? I'm telling you, because we're going to go through, this is a journey that's going to take us through the Bible, so it's going to take some time. Remember, Job was written first. Verse 6, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble? Who commands the sun not to shine and sets a seal upon the stars? Who alone stretched out the heavens and trample down the waves of the sea? Oh, y'all listening to this? I hope that you understand I'm talking about the Most High. Right? So notice that this is the scripture. Now again, so you'll know what we're talking about. This is scripture concerning the nature of heavens. Heavens, the Shamim. And the sky above in their relation to the earth. Okay? Job 22, verse 14. Thick clouds are a covering to him, that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit, that Hebrew word is hug, of heaven. Talking about Yahweh, walks in the circuit of heaven. And you can look up that word if you would like. I'm going to come back later and deal with that word. I'm going to give you everything I know about it. But I put it in there so you'll see what I'm talking about. That word circuit is hung, and I want you to see that. So he walks in the circuit. It can also be translated the circle. So keep that in mind. And here's some other translations of that same verse. The Holman Christian Standard Bible: clouds veil him so that he cannot see as he walks on the circle of thy sky, of the sky. Circle of the sky. In the ASV, American Standard Version, thick clouds are a covering to him so that he sees not, and he walketh on the vault of heaven. On the vault of heaven. Keep that in mind. See, this is scripture. And I want you just to see, what is your worldview? Is the world real? Is it real as we know it? How many want to discover it as God has described? Job 26, verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So it's, what's the antecedent there, and what's the context? He stretched out the north over empty place. It's empty. It means it's nothing. And hanged the earth upon nothing. Verse 8. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds. How many ever seen clouds and all of a sudden the clouds get right and something happens? Let me see your hand if you ever seen water come out of a cloud. Anybody ever see water come out of a cloud? I've been in them. Ain't even no joke. You look up and say, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Some of the guys that know weather, they can tell you they got a lot of wind in there. You say, really? Yeah, I could tell. See it moving. And other ones say, man, they got some water in that one. You've made comments like that. If you're a fisherman, you've done it. I've seen it. The Bible says he binds up the waters in thick clouds. Who? Who? Most High. And the cloud is not rent under them. He holds back the face of his throne and spreads out his clouds upon it. Just giving you some. This by no means is exhaustive. He had compassed the waters with bounds. Let me see that. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. Should I, Lord? Because I know you're sitting there going, what did he just say? Let me see your hand if you know exactly what that verse means. Can I tell you? It's just a little bit. I'm going to get to it probably next session. But you remember he separated the waters from the waters. How you separate water from water? Do you understand? And he put all the water in one place. And so it says, he hath compassed. How many know what the shape of a compass is? It would be a what? It would be a circle. It's a compass. You look at the compass, it's a circle. And so he's put something around the water so the waters cannot go no further. Who did that? God. Now scientists say that if you're sitting underneath a certain tree, something can fall on your head and you'll make a discovery. Let me say that again because I want you. I'm not trying to trick you in the way I'm going. I'm just telling you the Bible says something, and you got to have a. You're either going to have a biblical worldview, or you're going to have a scientific worldview. You're going to have one of them. Now the Bible's clear what it says. It says this. I'm going to read it again. He had compassed the waters with bounds. That's a perimeter. Waters can't go no further than God said. You can't go outside this circle. Then he says this. Why did he use that? Because he uses that until the day and night come to an end. Oh boy. Remember he said, let there be light. And then he separated the light from the darkness. How could he do that? Well, number one, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he don't do it and we don't know what he did. I just read to you what he did. What did he do? Until night and day come to an end. What makes the day come to an end when the sun's setting in the west? When you look out across the water, I've seen it thousands of times living on the water. What makes the day end when it comes across? What is it? The horizon. The horizon. Can you see past the horizon? And then what brings it up the next day? The horizon. Who did that? You said, but that's from my perspective. No kidding. Where you stand, it works. And if you stand in Nepal, it still works. And if you're in Africa, it still works. I don't care where you stand, it works because God sets the bounds. And he says, until day and night come to an end. So my position here from reading this is whatever he used to stop the waters is also what separates day and night. And I submit that's the horizon. Now you say, what if we keep going toward it? And keep going toward it. And keep going toward it. Well, maybe we'd all be shocked what we find. I'm going to leave that for another day. Verse 11. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. The what? The pillars of what? Pillars represent or in the connotation of being what? Associates with what? What's the whole beginning of the message? Pillars on same connotation of what? Foundations. Remember I gave an example. You take pylons or pillars and you drive them down and you're connecting them to something else that creates a friction or whatever you're trying to do. There's many applications. that you use that to then build something on. He said, the pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. Now we can say that's metaphor. We could say that, right? We could say that's metaphor, but we're going to show you later on in the study how I know that's not metaphor. I'm going to show you later on. We'll look at it as we... Verse 12, he divides the sea with his power. By his understanding, he's smitten through the proud. So he divides the sea. How does he do it? By his power, he divides the sea. Verse 13, by his spirit, he hath garnished the heavens. And his hand had formed the crooked serpent. That's a whole different study right there. But my whole point is, by his spirit, he had garnished the heavens. By his spirit. What moved upon the face of the water? He divided the waters from the waters. Isn't that amazing? Job 37, verse 18. Hast thou with him spread out the sky which is strong? So what did he do? Who spread out the sky? Yahweh, our creator. And he's asking a question. Did you spread out the sky which is strong? And as a molten looking glass. We're going to look at that. I can't dive into it yet because I got to give you the scriptures in Genesis first so you understand that. But it's in Job and it's written before Genesis. Now here's the thing. I got to go back to the question. Do you believe from Genesis throughout scripture all the way to Revelations that all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Do you believe Job 37:18 is inspired by God? All right, I'm going to read it again. Hast thou with him spread out the sky which is strong? It's a question. It's in question form all the way to the end. And as a molten looking glass. So he's telling us, again, we can say that's a metaphor. We don't know. How much do you know about that verse or molten? How many has ever studied molten looking glass? Looked it up, studied it. So we don't know yet, right? So we're in an investigation. We're going to find that out. I'm out of time. So we got to get 2 days in of creation before I leave. So if you want to leave, we got to get 2 days in. All right? Who's with me still? I don't have much more. I got maybe 5 or 6 slides left, or maybe more. I don't know what I just did, but I moved the slide. If it's out of order, I'll tell you. Day one. You got day one. Now, I'm going to ask the question again. Is the world as we know it real? What's your view? How many here believe that it's possible for you to have a scientific view of the world? I'm going to raise my hand because I know it's possible for me to do it because I've made statements and said things prior to me seeing this in Scripture. How many believe that you only have a biblical worldview of the world? Strictly biblical. Should we check ourselves? I think we should. That's what we're doing. Again, I'm not telling you I believe what I believe. I'm telling you we're going through the Word of God, right? I want you to see it. How much you say, well, what does it matter when it comes to salvation? It matters a lot. It matters a lot. If all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and righteousness, that the man who knows it becomes, then that means, to me, it means a lot. You can try to slice it however you want. Somebody said, well, you know, we're just going to stick with preaching Jesus. That's fine. But I'm telling you, it means a lot to God. Well, let's quickly do this. Our children are coming in, so we're out of time. All right. In Genesis, it says this, God said, Genesis 1, everybody there? Genesis chapter, I know it's not up there. Did they have it there? Oh, I probably did that on mine, that's why. Okay, everybody see that, Genesis 1? Where did I put that? All right, now we got it. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let me see that. The word heaven there, shamim. So keep that in mind. We're going to come back later on and look at that. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. In verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided. He divided the light from the darkness. Now, how many know that you have a deep understanding of reading that because you read Job first? Yes. Now, the student could read it just like this and then get to Job and then come back and cross-reference it. That's what we should do. But most people won't do that. So I'm helping you just by showing you that you'll have a deep understanding. So he divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Now, how many see that in the beginning God created the heaven and earth? Okay? When we see that in the beginning he created that, and then we don't know the story behind it. Now he's telling us the story behind it. Because do we have the, is the earth appeared yet? I'm going to read it to you in a little while, and I hope it's not a trick. You have to ask this question. Has the earth appeared yet? He said, well, yeah, it appeared because he said in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Well, that's the title, and now we're going through it. Does that make sense? Because it hadn't appeared yet, because then he says, then he made the earth appear. Where did it come from? So we want to know that. So the first day, we got the first day done. We got 2 days to do. We're almost done. Day two, we're going through this. Isn't that amazing how fast you can create? Glory to God. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the water from the water. Let it be a firmament, and let it divide the water from the water. Now, we still got questions. Unless you studied it before, you got questions. Okay, we got a firmament. He said, and let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Okay, I'm trying to figure that out. Get that around my head. And then let it divide the water from the water. Okay, I'm still not going anywhere here. And then God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the water which was above the firmament. And it was so. So how many got that picture? We got a firmament. We got waters above and below. And it's, that's the thing separating it. And God called the firmament. There you go. And God called the firmament Shamayim. Same word. In the beginning, God created the Shamayim. Same word. That's what he called it. Did I call it that? Scientists call it something different that you and I will never know about. They know. Only the secret. They got it. I know, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the term Illuminati's, Freemasons, all that stuff. You got to go down the list. There's piles of them. Skull and Bones, 33. I can go down the list. I can assure you, you'd be shocked how much I know about all those secret societies. You'd be shocked. All the way to the history of the ones that sailed over. Every president is related. All that can go on and on and on and on. You can do your own research. Find it out. Scientists want you to believe that somehow they got more information than you. Because remember, the all-seeing eye on your dollar bill. You can pull one out your pocket and you see the all-seeing eye on the top of the pyramid. It means knowledge. It's enlightenment. And they feel I get the enlightenment comes from somebody. I'm going to tell you, it ain't from God. But they believe that it's, that's why it's a secret society. God don't talk about a secret nothing. Do you understand? What God talks about is going to all the world and tell everybody. And the secret society says don't tell nobody but us. Where'd that come from? In the garden, there are two trees. I'm setting my scene for next service. Two trees. And he said, one is the tree of life. Who can have the tree of life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, who believeth in him should not perish, but everyone can have eternal life. But to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, never forget that, good to the for the secret good. and evil. So you only get that good if you mingle yourself with evil. In other words, you got to sell out to Satan. Now, they won't say that. They won't say that. They'll use terms like God, but never use Yahweh. Uh-oh. You ever wonder why God says, I have a name and it's Yahweh? Some of you people say Yahuwah, Jehovah, whatever you want. I'm not a sacred name guy. I'm just telling you there's a reason he gave himself a name. Because God is an Elohim. And an Elohim could be the multiple Elohims. It can be directed toward people in authority, and all that stuff. So keep that in mind. So what my point that I'm getting to you is this. Scientists believe that we have figured out, because we got insight past you. The only way they can have insight past you is to be in opposition to God. Because if that's not the case, then why do you say what God said? Why have you come up with a solution? Why have you come up with these things? Let me just tell you. Let me tell you this. Time is ticking. And should time go on, and this is a reality, I want you to think about this. People are going to die. And God don't want you to be to die and not have the truth. Well, you can confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and come out from that. You don't get like life forever. There's a time period. And so there's going to be an all-out attack from the powers that be around the world. And it's been, all of it's been run by these powers. They get the information or insight, enlightenment. It's called enlightenment. They get it from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's where it comes from. And you can fall underneath that curse. Let me tell you. You remember I told you about the northern kingdom? Guess what tree they depict? I told you about the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes called the house of Israel. They picked the knowledge of good and evil, and they paid a dear price for it. But guess what? God is merciful. He's merciful. He said, I'll take you out of that. I'll break the curse for you. And there's so much I'm going to go into next week, and I'm going to show you as we lay out this. And I'm going to do it in concert with what you really believe about the world you live in. And I'm going to talk about all the secret societies, all the stuff, and the history of them and how it all come about. And you'll see there's a fact. You go check it out for yourself. I'm just here giving to you. You don't believe nothing I say, you go check it out. If you find it different, you come and tell me. And listen, I made a mistake. I'll man up to the mistake and say, yeah, I missed that. I'm sure I did. But I'm telling you, this is serious. So if you want to make it, if you want to really do what God wants you to do, it's going to take us to step up a little bit and spend some time with God. It's the truth. How many feel like you really studying your Bible? You really spending some time looking in the Word of God? So he says this, and this is what we're going to do right before we leave. I'll finish this. So he got the firmaments. It was so, and he called the firmaments heaven, and the evening and morning was the second day. Genesis 7, verse 11, in the 600 years of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, in the same day, all the fountains of the great deep broke up, and the windows of heaven were opened. What happens when you open a window and they got water on top of it? I'm going to ask that again, because it came up in our Thursday night Bible study. Nicole had asked a question, and I was trying to answer it, but you have to understand, that was a loaded question. She had no idea, but when she would ask that question, all this stuff was, because it was asked about the children, you know, how we had the children, how did it get to, I'm going to give a chart to you, I promise, in one of the services, I'm going to give you the chart, and I'm going to look at just those people who lived in the flood, and I'm going to give you the chart on how many population we have today, and it equals exactly the same. If we do the math, it comes out the same. You don't need, like, some secret group somewhere, and they was on the planet too, and they went and got, no, they all, when he said they died, they all died, except for eight. We can go from that date and we can get the population we have today. You don't need no, it's no magic, it's numbers. You just put the numbers there and they're real. Okay, so how many see that the windows of heaven were open? So does in the firmament, what is the heaven? The firmament, what do they have in them? What's in the windows? Windows. What's above the firmament? Water. So when Noah's flood came, the water came like you would open the window. And the water poured in from the top. Not rain. Now, did it rain? Was it weather? Yeah, it created all sorts of atmospheric problems because it was raining. But you don't, if rain for 40 days and 40 nights, don't flood the earth. It don't. It's coming from the beneath and from above. It came in torrents. So much so that it would do whatever, it would just change the whole face of the earth. It's a proven fact. We see it throughout, what scientists tell you? Well, over a period of 59 million years, during this period, are you tired of hearing that? Well, by the way, let me just tell you, your kids are hearing it every time they go to school. So if you don't know the truth, you just let them believe that, and you're going to be pressed, hard pressed to keep them later on in life because they don't know what's real and not real. The question is, are you willing to answer that for them and tell them, listen? And I know it's going to be tough for you because they're going to tell you when they get a little older, well, mama and daddy, if it's wrong, why am I going there? You know why? Nobody wants to get together and say, you know what? There's a better way if we follow the word of God. There's enough people who got together. You can have your own education system. But you know what? We're more interested in playing ball than them knowing the truth. Because we won't have a ball team. Am I telling the truth in here? I'm talking about a generation that could possibly be the generation that ushers in the return of Yeshua. And I know we want it that way we want it, but not every generation is going to get that. It's just the way it is. Let me tell you, when the war broke out, when Hitler took control of all the lands of Europe, those people didn't sign up for that, but it was their time. With 6 million Jews dead, they didn't sign up for that, but it was their time. The question is, are we going to have a time? Or we just got to set our life up for all the nice stuff? Well, yeah, they had it nice, so we need to have it. Like we deserve something. You'd be shocked that there is a mentality around this country where people have come to this place where they deserve this treatment, this entitlement. Well, I'm telling you, I believe the church thinks they're entitled. We're entitled to miss the tribulation. We're entitled to miss this. We don't need no pain. We don't need no suffering. We're entitled. No, the only thing we got to do is follow the path that he laid out for us. And then have information to get through that, no matter what we face. So I hope that you're hearing this, because this is some serious stuff that we have to continue to look at. In Genesis 8:2, it said, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. I'm going to ask this question. Who here believes that God, the Most High, sits above the firmaments? All right? Who believes that he's the one that decides if he's going to let water in or stop the water from coming in? Well, if you believe your Bible, I've just read to you that he's the one that does it. He opened it up, it came in, it flooded the whole earth. And then the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. I mean, see that? They were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. Can he stop it? Absolutely he can. So I hope that you see this. 2 Samuel 22, verse 8. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. I'm going to ask this question. Does the heavens have foundation? Then this next question, what is the foundation attached to? If the heavens have a foundation, what is it hooked to? Because it's got to be hooked to something. There's some good stuff to think about. And this is the last thing. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament The firmament showeth his handiwork. So I want you to be here. Listen, I was going to do this when I first started. That would be the last slide. Go back to the start slide. Just leave it up there. who really in this building? This was the question the Lord posed to me right before I came down from my office. Who really in this building want the truth? You really want the truth? Will you make a commitment to be in as many services as possible to hear it real time? Not just depending on the slides and the tape and all that, but to hear it. Make a commitment to it. If you posture yourself to pursue truth. Now I'm going to give you a few things to think about. Do you know that every president of the United States since George Washington was related, except for one? And that all came from one guy. Come from one guy. That guy was a Freemason. He was heavily, heavily connected in the occult. They all see an eye. You say, you mean Obama's related to George Bush? Yes. I think they're ninth cousins. Look it up for yourself. But you mean he's related to Dick Cheney? Listen, I'm just his words of his own wife. His own wife wrote a book. You can get her book and read her book. She says, in a joke, in her book, she jokingly say it. She said, you know, most people don't even know that Obama's and Cheney's related. They're eighth cousins. Huh. Did you know that all those presidents were Freemasons? It's all about knowledge, and it ain't from God. It's the knowledge of good and evil. Do you understand that? Keep that in mind. You get hung up on the good, and all the local, see, you got these local chapters, and you get to be involved in that. Those local chapters, all you are is in a recruitment class. That's all you are. Most of them never become anybody unless you're connected, really connected from a monetary stand. You got to have a lot of money. Most of that, they just do a lot of, look, you get to wear the hat and ride the go-karts. You get to go to all the little funny things and get pins and rings and all that, but you're really nothing. You was being recruited, and if you'd have been something, you'd have made it somewhere else. You'd have become famous. And then when you're not playing to the rules, like Kennedy, he didn't play to the rules, you out. Let me just give you something to think about. This is my observation. We got Hillary Clinton. Her husband's in the Masons. He's Illuminati. Everybody knows it. You study his history out of his own mouth and his own book. Go ahead and read it, and you'll see for yourself. All right? Trump, he's a Mason. Ain't no getting around it. This is my observation. He should have ran earlier. He should have ran. And he didn't. And Jeb Bush was up. Ain't nobody overrides the Bushes. He had $150 million given to him to start his campaign. And he was out quick because Trump put his name in and he started. So there's infighting. It's called infighting within their own group. They're all the same secret society, but they're fighting. And when that happens, usually some people die. So don't be shocked if something happens. So we can go around and talk about this and that. We can say who we for and not for. But that's a reality. But let me just tell you who's not a Mason. That would be the Most High God. He don't need knowledge. He is knowledge. You understand that? And he gave his only begotten Son for us. We have a foundation. You don't need to hook up with a secret society. What I would do, if I would be you, and I had any leanings toward that, I would say, God, I want you and you only. That's what I want. Because you don't need nothing besides him. So I want you to just understand this. This race is going to go on. And if you think we have a distinct party, they all back in the back room, eating donuts and drinking coffee together. They're a fooled society. They've been fooling society ever since Sir Francis Bacon came across and he took the King James, I don't have the King James here, but he took the King James Bible and he did what he did with the King James Bible. King James was amazing. I can go through list after list after list after list. Listen, I've done my study. You don't have to take my word for it. Go and check out what I'm saying. But it's all been that away. And this, you know, if it wouldn't have been for the Puritans and just a handful of believers that hit this continent, it was not discovered. Wow, we found something. This place was a designation. It was a designation by information given from a secret knowledge, the source. You can get more power, more enlightenment. You want, come to me. Give me everything. You get more enlightenment. And that's what people do. They sell out. You ever seen somebody, he ain't nobody, he's just going to regular school like everybody else. He can't sing hardly that good, and all of a sudden he's famous? Oh boy. There's a reason for it. And it's to make people think. And so they all pawns trying to show that you can be this in life, you can be that, but you got to give up everything. And it's just to give a smokescreen. Everything you've been watching, everything you've been hearing, all the stuff that's going on your TV right now, it's just to kind of settle the crowd down. All this, all these Middle East fightings, they're all in on it. So keep that in mind. When we went to Iraq for war, it was because the 9-1-1 happened. Those buildings can't be brought down by airplanes. Everybody knows it. You can call me whatever you want. You can leave here and say, oh boy, pastor's a conspiracy. It ain't. It's a reality. The reality is you, how are you going to, are you going to pray and ask God? Are you going to really ask him? This is common sense. Some of this stuff is hidden in plain sight. That's a term you're going to hear a lot. Hidden in plain sight. They put a little sign out there and you don't know because you're oblivious to it. We're not reading our Bible. We're not going to God in prayer. He said it opened up our understanding. That's what Paul said. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. You'd know what the hope of your calling is. That you'd be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. So I can go through all the numbers. I can give you all the degrees. I've seen it, and I've studied it extensively, and I can tell you it's nothing but just trying to discredit who the Most High God is. That's what it all boils down to. So I want you to think about this. When we went into Iraq after 9/11, which we did ourselves, there was no terrorist. None. We did that. We blew them buildings up, and we know we blew them up, and everybody knows it. All the people up top know it, but the people down here, like you, whatever the news, whatever Fox says, that's what you believe. That's your view, and it could be your biblical world. It could be your view of the Bible, what they say. You got to be careful. You drag in a lot of that stuff, that nonsense, and so you read the Bible, and you go, well, Riley didn't say that. On his Killing Jesus book. You ought to read some of the clips in there. So anyway, buildings are down. They say the fuel burnt the building. They know it didn't burn. It all fell down. They knew we did that. So we can create hysteria. We take a whole army and we attack Afghanistan and then we go into Iraq. And the first thing we do is we go to their museum and we take their artifacts. Why? Why would you go into the museum and rob people if you was going in there to get the terrorist? Like, is that where they live? So we took all the artifacts, and the one main thing we were interested in, the one thing we were interested in, because the if you read the Epic of Gilgamesh, you'll start, this is way back, you got to study your history, and go back, if you read that, they're looking for the tomb of Nimrod, and the preservation of that body, it was found. And the moment it was found, we made up this story in America that we got attacked so we could go over there and justify to the taxpayer that they got to give all this money and the Congress throw all their hats in because they're all the same. Every one of them's the same. They're all in this thing together. They go on the floor and fight each other, but they're all on the same. At the back, they have all the secrets going on. And so we take the stuff. Guess the main thing we did, what we wanted. We wanted that mummified body, and we got it. Because it's about DNA. It's about extracting. It's about getting the enlightenment to be the best, the top, the elites, the soldiers, the big guys. This all goes back to Genesis 6, which we'll be getting there. I'm going to do the entire Genesis 6, giants, all that. You need to be in these services. So we did all of that. When we went to give relief for the war, when Hitler did what he did in killing all the Jews, what do you think we went for? Because we are loving people? Humanitarian? No, we didn't go for that. We went and got their scientists. We got every single one of them, and we brought one man in particular here that was one of the most cruel ones they had. And guess who he paired up with when he got here? Walt Disney. They were buddies. None of them went to jail. None of them did anything. They had them few for the Purim. Remember the Purim? That was all scapegoats. But the elite scientists of Nazi Germany, we got them in America. Then we gave them everything they needed so we can get their insight. It's one Mason trying to do it to another. And let me tell you, I've been studying this for over 10 years. I put a lot of time in it. And we have been swindled by the government. We have been swindled by our neighbors. We listen to that stuff, and it's nothing but a farce. We have to open up the Word of God and say, God, please help us so we can see the truth. So we brought them here. Those two guys got together. They went on and did all sorts of things. And time won't permit me to cover it all, but I will do it throughout this teach. So if you want to know what's coming, I'm going to be inserting all these things throughout this as we go and discover, is the world we live in real? Is it really what you think it is? Or do you really have a scientific view of this world? What you think? Think about it. I think we should repent. And we should ask God to forgive us because we got involved in stuff we shouldn't be involved in. You don't need anything like that. You need God and Him alone. He's the firm foundation. A wise man builds his house on the rock. That rock is Christ. That's Yeshua. We build on that. Where did he get his foundation? From Yahweh. And it all works the same. What was the foundation that he showed us time after time after time throughout Scripture? The foundation of the earth, or the pillars of the earth. It's all through Scripture. I just gave you very few verses. There's lots of them. I really needed to cover about 500 verses today. That's what I really needed to cover, just to kind of set the scene. But maybe we can put some in there later, okay? So how many feel like this is important and necessary? How many think it's urgent? I think it is. I would pray to God that you would find the urgency that you want to be in these services so we can continue to do what God wants to do. It's going to be incredible. So let's pray. If you're here and you heard what I said today and you haven't consciously made an effort to say, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to be all for you. I don't want to be mixing myself. I don't want to do that. The tragic thing we see around the world is those who mingle themselves with the seed of men. And I'm going to tell you, Satan has a seed. He said, I'll put enmity between your seed and his seed. We've got to be careful. What seed are we actually coming from? What seed is in you? There's a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's because the word is in there called good don't mean it's good. Those who take from that tree, they die. And it's got good in it. But it's got good in it. That's what people do. They're selling you. They're selling you. So we're going to have wisdom. Father,